Welcome to the Boiled Sports Handsome Hour for the 1/3 mark of the Purdue football season. Just wanted to make you guys sad. I'm joined by Boiler Dowd and Dave making an appearance on the podcast for the first time in about 13 years. Dave, when was the last time you were on? 15 years ago? I can't remember now. It's all blending
together. Like yesterday or... Well, it couldn't have been yesterday because my laptop wouldn't have worked then either.
No. Standard operating procedure. No, that occurred to me today that this four games, man, that's a third of the season.
A third of the season.
That doesn't even seem right. At this rate, they're going to be 3-9.
And yeah, but it'll be all 12 home games.
24 points, right? Right, but they have 12 home games. They'd be Georgia, really, is what they
really are. Are we playing Indiana State next week?
No, I don't think there's that's one thing. Those aren't on the schedule anymore. And one of the questions.
Let me check. I'll get the BS Analytics desk. No, we're not.
Which we'll get to later in the podcast. One of the questions someone sent in was if you could change one of the losses so far, which would it be? And that got me thinking about the fact that there was only one gimme on the schedule, and they did screw that up. But we'll get to that question later. So Purdue's coming off their first win of the season. A decisive win after three losses by 8 combined points. They go out and destroy a team that I don't think was taking them seriously. I'm surprised that that's still going on. Am I crazy there? I feel like Brohm has gotten enough attention that you would think that people would understand that you shouldn't take Purdue lightly at this point.
Are you foreshadowing?
No.
Because, you know, if we're going to talk about the next game later, like, can we really cover this in both sections?
Sure. Sure.
Because I think you're right. I mean, this is almost the Tiller Alamo Bowl stuff where Purdue was like, hey, you know, we're ready to play. And their opponents were like, you got to be kidding me. This is where we are.
Well, this is definitely, it felt like they didn't care coming in BC, but it was funny watching the tape. They were clearly trying to do different things to get out of the slump they were in, but it didn't matter what they did. Purdue's defense was just so good. And the really lousy thing about that game is Purdue should have won by more. They should have beaten them up even worse, but they stalled, two drives and came away with no points in the second half, you know, down in the, inside the 10. Yeah.
But related to that, I think I noticed Blau being, I don't want to say conservative because that's not the right word at all, but using good judgment. Careful, using good judgment. He took sacks. He didn't even throw the ball away a few times when it would have been fine to try to, because he probably was in a position where he thought, I can't wing it out of bounds, so I'll take the sack, or I'll try to scramble out of it, but I'll take the sack if I have to. And that's progress, I think, right? Because they didn't have to force it.
Well, if I recall correctly, that was something that BC did not execute. I think there was at least one intentional grounding call on a play that was similar to one where Blau took a sack, where the BC guy was like, I don't know, I guess I'll chuck it out. Everything else is going wrong. Yeah, where Blau was like, I think I'm still in the pocket. I'll take the 10-yard loss and we'll just come out 2nd and 20.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. But that my biggest gripe with the game and with Blau is probably that he got hit so much and that he took so many. I mean, he gets hit a lot. And he had one play on a short yarded situation where he just got folded like into a ball. And I just hate seeing that. I wish he would not get hit as much. It's funny because he's absolutely more prone to getting, you know, punched around. And I think that means that he will eventually not be playing because of, even if it's a minor injury, but he gets hit a lot.
Yeah, but I think the other thing I would say about this game, and it's weird that their first win of the season over a ranked team, first win over a ranked team since 2011, although I don't even know if an Illinois ranked team counts, but it does.
Wait. Illinois was ranked? Really? Well,
you of all people remember this, I'm sure, Dave, because you're the statistician around here. But
it's just that Lovey has made me forget all those years. You're right, it is my fault.
But they weren't even good that year. That's the funny thing. I remember that vividly. Zook got them out to a 6-0 start. They were ranked, and then they lost 6 in a row, and then he got fired. And like, so Purdue was basically the beginning of the end for Lonzo. Could they also be the beginning of the end for Lovey Smith? Time will tell. And what I was going to say, though, is Purdue beats a ranked team handily, right? I mean, first win of the season, pretty much dominant from start to finish. And it was another one of those games, not unlike the Missouri game last year, where Purdue didn't do anything super special. I mean, they Rondell Moore is very special, but there wasn't trickery. There wasn't like a whole Purdue did what they do. And we all talked about this last week. The strength of BC was running, and they ran into Purdue's one defensive strength. And everyone's like, whoa, Nick Holt is a genius. Well, he's good, but that is Purdue's strength, right? That up. And BC had nothing else they could do.
Yeah, the funny thing, if you would have gone just based on what the color commentator said, he thought everybody on Boston College's defense was either bound for the NFL or bound for the Hall of Fame. I mean, it was ridiculous listening to him talk. And I know there are some talented guys on BC's defense, but on the other side of the ball, he thought Purdue was just chopped liver straight across the board. He kept saying that he thought that BC's quarterback had a lot of arm talent and was soon to be a superstar and all this. And I've watched them play in other games, and I didn't ever see that. I saw their running back as being very good and an NFL type of guy because he's so strong. But past that, I was like, you know, if you force this guy to pass, they're going to be in deep trouble. It reminded me a bit of Ohio State a couple years ago when Purdue upset them when Pryor was the quarterback. When Purdue forced Pryor to make plays, he couldn't make plays. And the same thing happened. BC could not get down the field. They could not go vertical on Purdue in spite of Purdue's problems in the defensive backfield. And to me, it was more of an indictment on BC than it was of, kind of a rah-rah thing for Purdue.
Well, you know, that was the one touchdown drive they had, right? When the game was still a game, it was 38 yards.
Yeah.
Right.
It was set up entirely short field. And that was it. And after that, until the game was out of hand, they did nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. That kick returner had 215 yards that were very important to Boston College, because not only did they have the one field that was short, they also had a drive that Purdue stopped, I think, on the other side of the field, if I remember correctly. And he got to he got to the other 45, and then he ran another one back to like the 40 or 42. Yeah, he was the weapon, and that was another thing. Purdue's special teams were really atrocious. They just were bad on a lot of levels. They couldn't cover. They missed two field goals and a point after. Is that right?
I remember one. I don't know if there was. I would believe two.
And Evans couldn't get the ball in the end zone. I mean, I heard that he was sick, but I was happy to hear that Brom said he's going to put pressure on all the kickers, because that was a glaring problem, but it didn't really matter. And watching it on tape, I was like, man, these could have mattered. These points after and field goals could have mattered, but
you mean like in the earlier games we played?
Exactly. Precisely. Yeah. So that's a thing that this has got to get, cured, but I don't think it's going to this year.
That first point after drives me nuts. Those are the things that just drive me insane. They score to go up, and it's 13-7, not 14-7. I don't know why that bothers me so much, because I guess because we've seen it come back to hurt teams before, including Purdue. So, but that was who? It wasn't Dellinger. It was the other one.
It was Evans.
Evans. He didn't see the field again, I don't think.
Right. From what I had read, he was pulled for illness after the first quarter, and they had scored the second touchdown in the first quarter. But I think it wasn't the first one he's missed. And that inconsistency has kind of been a problem for both kickoffs and place kicks this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever somebody's sick in a football or basketball game, I always blame diarrhea. So I assume he had diarrhea and then subsequent dehydration. And when you go in the tent with diarrhea, that's not pleasant for the trainers either. So they wanted him to get out of there and get into the locker room. That's what I assume. I just go there every time. I have no reason to believe that, other than that's my fallback.
Because you're gross. That's really what it is.
I'm disgusting. So one thing that I don't know if it was picked up on TV, but something that angered me very much was BC called a timeout when they were down by 23 points, right? And then they kicked an onside kick when they were down by 17 points, right? And I kind of wanted to see Brom throw a bomb. I was like, screw you. What the hell is wrong with you,
Dawson? Kneel down?
I mean, they're not should... going to win. You're not
going to. You got to try. You gotta
but try. They weren't always trying. What they did at the end of the second quarter was they basically just let Purdue run the clock out. Mm-hmm. They had there was like 2 minutes left, and they and it was essentially the opposite. They basically sat on their timeouts, let Purdue burn a bunch of clock, and instead of getting to go deep a couple of times, they basically had to run the ball because they had no time left.
Yeah, in the last minute though of the game, he decided the game mattered, and I was like, screw right. this, man, what a jack.
Why try to make it look better when you can't catch up, but right. not do the same stuff when it actually would have made a difference?
Yeah, yeah.
It was that good. And I think
neither do Boston College fans, by the way. I talked to a bunch of them during the day, and I just said, hey, you know,
really,
how's the trip been? You know, and they said we have talent to be one of the best teams in the ACC, and we have coaching to be the worst team in the ACC. Like I heard it multiple times. I was like, I didn't think that guy was that bad. I actually thought he was a pretty solid coach, especially since, you know, what have they gone to 2 or 3 bowl games with him? I mean, that's
pretty good.
Did we talk about him during the great Brom discovery?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Not in any depth if we did. And we talked about everyone. I think we wrote about 50 coaches. So that tells you a little something. But
yeah, that's a good point.
You know, one thing that I noticed, and I don't know how it felt in the stadium, but it felt like Purdue got a couple calls this week, and they haven't in a while. Like Rondell Moore.
They got a lot.
I mean, I think you could argue, as they did on TV, they said, look, can you tell for certain it's down? And I think a BC fan would say, yes, I could. But they didn't call it down on the field. So
right.
unlike the previous week, they decided that it would have to be indisputable to overturn it. 2 weeks ago against Missouri, I don't know if you know this, the rule was different against Missouri, and it didn't have to be indisputable. Just
if just someone had felt to have like somebody, it, somebody, yeah, exactly. That's enough.
It just, yeah, that didn't look right. That looked too hard. That he couldn't have caught that.
Yeah.
Well, and it was again like last week. It was at a pivotal point. You bring that ball all the way back, stadium. You know, you let the air out of the stadium a little. Yeah, the Boilers might have scored, but this was Rondale Moore. You know, boom, touchdown.
Oh man, he's so good. He's so good, and he's getting attention now. He's getting real attention on watch lists. And, I mean, not that he should have been before now, but it also, if Purdue winds up non-bowl, not bowl team, a non-bowl team, and he has the year he's having, that's going to be a little bit frustrating, only because a really good team with him doing what he's doing, he probably gets Heisman mentions. If he does this all year and they win a lot of games,
he's gotten Heisman mentions, yes, by different
he's
media
on the periphery
outlets,
they're saying, but
yeah, which is pretty crazy. And
do we count as media?
Yeah, oh absolutely, yeah, we're the best.
Oh well, then he's got at least like 5 mentions that I could count.
We always say we are not media, we are not media, but we do have a megaphone, so in some ways we are.
I think you have a megaphone. I have my actual phone.
That's how I make all my calls. I'm a little behind the times.
Hello.
That's
how you use your phone.
What, when Verizon isn't working at Ross Aid Stadium, that's what I use. I use my megaphone.
Like all the time is what you're saying.
Exactly. I yell across to you in the rich guy seats.
That's why I can't hear you, because you know they don't even let us use Verizon. I don't know what that's about.
It's awful.
They probably have phones at their seats though, like old car phones.
No, that's next level up. The guys in next level up, they just kind of wave them at us. They were throwing business cards at us that I think said, isn't it too bad that you guys don't have internet and we do? But I couldn't reach them, so maybe that's not what they said. I don't know.
Well, next up, guys, you have the humble and tactful Scott Frost led Nebraska.
All right. How are you saying that with a straight face?
I listen. Let me say this. I don't think I'm alone here. Okay. I like Scott Frost.
I do too.
I think he's a very good coach. There's nothing right.
But
now
I could see myself not liking him very quickly if he keeps making stupid comments like that.
I think
that
was. He realized it though. Dude, the way he backpedaled today was phenomenal.
Bad. Yeah.
Just Purdue's the best program I've ever seen. Jeff Brown's the best coach.
Best coach ever. They have everyone is the best player.
But it's tough, right? I mean, you're trying to get your team fired up. You don't want to come out and say, we're just worse than every team on our schedule. We're probably going to go 0-12.
I get it.
So it's hard, but he does lean toward the fuel.
You say that to them. You don't say it to the press.
Right. Yeah. Just right out in front of everyone. Man, I'm glad nobody's oh, they are.
I didn't think we had this in Nebraska. Oh man, I was refamiliarizing myself with Nebraska's history because I always like to look back and look at how insanely successful they were.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It doesn't it. Like I looked it up. Tom Osborne's last 5 years. Mm. I actually remember this. They went 60-0-3 and won three national titles in 5 years. 60-3. And that was the 90s. That wasn't like the 70s, right? Right. And I've made
that's why jokes. That's why there are 90,000 people in Lincoln every Saturday in that right. stadium. I mean, that's the thing. It changes generations when you win a national title, let alone win three. Did they? So Solich never won one, right?
But but Solich went. Solich went 12-0 his second year, and finished second. He was 12-0, and he finished second. Okay, so he could easily have won a national title that year. And they still ran the old man out of town, not as aggressively as they did with later guys, right? But he wasn't enough, right? And he never won fewer than, I think, 9. but then, and it just went steadily downhill, right? And then, you know, everybody knows
about Pelini. Did you see that factoid on Twitter today? Gave Pelini's record, and they said he was, what did they say? He did not win enough or was not successful enough. It was something kind of a funny way to word it. And then they said since he was fired, the record is worse.
And had one season that was as good as Pelini's worst since he was fired. Pelini, interestingly, he was there 7 years. I'm doing all this from memory because I looked at this today and for some reason it sticks with me. He was there 7 years. He lost exactly 4 games every year, all 7 years, which is what bugged them, right? Because a lot of those years were 9-4, but like 3 of those 7 were 10-4. So, like he averaged what 9.25, 9.33 wins per season, which if you're doing that, you're right on the precipice, right? You're going to break through and keep, you're not going to suddenly fall off a cliff.
To a lesser extent, that's what Purdue fans had a problem with Tiller, right? We wanted to see that next level.
Sure.
And they had already seen the next level. And that's really the difference, right? We don't know what that next level tastes like.
But Tiller was clearly tired and was old.
Yes.
And Pelini was not that. And was still as energetic and fired up as anybody else. And so somebody made a joke on Twitter. Oh, it was Ramsey, the guy at 11 Warriors. He said, I think Nebraska is going to be paying a while for running out a guy who won 9 or 10 games a year for a guy who didn't swear. Like that was the thing. They wanted a guy that they liked more.
Well, he was bristly, right? He was never good with the media. Never.
Somewhat.
I know. But I wouldn't say Solich and Osborne were, you know, life of the party type guys either. Yeah, exactly.
No,
well, but I think that I think that one of the differences was Solich actually had good years. I'm looking this up. I actually have plenty of sources. We don't have to go there. Solich went 12-1 his second year. He had a Fiesta Bowl win, and then
his second in the nation.
Right, but he ended up having a 7-7 year. That's not what got him fired. The 9-3 year after that was almost like, oh, well, if you're not going to win double digits again, we'll just, you know, we'll get the next guy in here.
They decided it after the 7-7 season, I'm sure.
Right. And the difference with Pelini was he never did that. It was like you said, even though his final season, he was 9-3 when he got fired. The worst he was going to be was 9-4, just like the one before. Like, you're guaranteed no more than 4 losses. Yeah, but you know what? We're not beating Oklahoma. We're not beating Colorado. I don't like it.
But a bunch of those years, he went to he went to the Big 12 title game. And if you're playing, again, if you're playing in the Big 12 title game, in that vintage Big 12, you're good. You're right there on the doorstep of being in what now is the playoff.
Yep. And the Big 10 title game 1 year.
That's
amazing. It's amazing. So I guess my point in all that is you get what you deserve when you act like that as a fan base and as a school. And I've said years.
Yeah.
Nebraska's not, it's not the 70s. Kids have the internet and Twitter, and they can see what life is like in Texas and Florida and California and even West Lafayette. And they can say, oh, well, I could be a star there. I don't have to go to Nebraska just because I was born in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. The funny thing is how many programs like what Nebraska used to be, are there anymore? Right. It used to be that there were 5 or 6, right? Yeah. Alabama. That's it. That's the list. And it used to be, you know, you had Penn State, Alabama, Nebraska, Ohio State. Like there were 7 teams that every year were double digit winners, right? It's not that way.
Well, it's spread out more now. right? The talent. Yes, that's what I mean. Yes, the talent has
exactly, gone. Exactly. It's a different era, and I think the people that are thinking that they should still be in that thought, they're not really looking at all now, the evidence in front of them. I don't think.
To counter my own argument,
yeah,
I was thinking about this weekend because I've made that point about Nebraska for years, but here's Oklahoma, still pretty relevant, and maybe hiring Scott Frost is the formula, right? Because Oklahoma hires Lincoln Riley, mm-hmm. and they're really good. And they're going to be really good. And he looks like the kind of guy who's going to win a national title there.
Right.
And maybe, we all agreed, right? Frost was the perfect hire for Nebraska. He was the guy. This is it. This is what brings you back or you're never coming back.
Dave, how many non-double-digit win seasons did Stoops have? Is that that's too much of a question to ask?
No, it's easy. I actually had Oklahoma already pulled up because one of the things I was going to pull out was there have only been two Oklahoma coaches this century.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing that people forget is when you make a change, like when I was born, Nebraska had, I think that was not quite.
Devaney had been there and that's it, right?
It was right. Devaney started in 62 and then Osborne coached through 97. So you've got 36 seasons with two guys. That's it. And so they just assumed partly because they were elites then this is how it's always going to be, you know? And Stoops basically had 4 years where he didn't win 10 games. One was his first year. Then he had a Holiday Bowl win, a Sun Bowl win, and then one of those weird new bowls that he lost. So for the most part, there was something big that he did in every single year that he was at Oklahoma for almost 20 years.
Is he there so long? He was there. Oh, right. Because you said only two coaches this century. Holy.
Right. God. His first year was 99 and that was 7-5. And then next year, 13-0.
And what
is. So, you know, good luck, Lincoln. Hey, you can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's tough. Yeah, but Lincoln, maybe he can.
Well, what did he do last year? Didn't he win 10 or
12? 12-2.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Didn't miss a beat.
No. Man, but these guys think it's their birthright. These fans,
right?
And you know, at Nebraska, they have got to be prepared for this kind of season because if you look at, I saw something written that said the fifth year seniors, and there are some on the team, have had three head coaches and like four D coordinators mm-hmm. and like and three schemes. Like,
yeah,
Riley that's went full pro style 2 years ago. Like, it's you know, that's a lot. I mean, these guys weren't recruited to. You know, some of those guys were recruited by Pelini. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they were recruited to do what they're doing now, but they spent 3 years not doing it.
Right. I mean, if you're Scott Frost, he looks like it's taking it pretty hard, and I'm sure it sucks to get your brains beaten in like this. But if they don't have patience with him, and I mean patience for a year or two, right? Like then they don't deserve anybody. Because
well, they're not going to get anybody if they don't have patience, right?
Well, this is where we talk about football karma or sports karma. If you run this guy out of town, who the hell comes there, right? Because this is a favorite son, and I don't think there's any hints of them running him out of town yet.
You,
but
you know what you become? You become what Tennessee is right now.
Yep,
that's you exactly can't get right. anybody to come yeah. there. You yep. run out anybody who was good or could have been good. You know what they should have done last year? I still believe this. They should have gone and gotten Lane Kiffin back. Kiffin, I know you don't like Kiffin. Kiffin's good. He wins. Good coach. He recruits.
He's a good recruiter.
He's a good recruiter. He loves the talking smack to other teams. They would love to have him back, but they all hate him because he took an NFL job.
Right. How can you blame him, right?
Oh, wait, no. Am I screwing that up? Did he go to the NFL right from there or did he go to USC from there? He went to the NFL, didn't he?
I think he went to the NFL.
I can't remember.
No, he went to USC.
But which even again, they don't see that as a big deal. But that makes complete sense that to me.
Yes, you can't fault him for that.
No,
to go that. Remember, this was USC coming off the Pete Carroll era.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, okay, and so doesn't that kind of feed into itself, right? Like, why wouldn't you leave Tennessee if you had a year there and you already knew what was going on? Right. You already saw, man, they're going to eat me alive. And Fulmer went 5-7. What did you want me to do?
Right. Right.
Am I defending Lane Kiffin? I'm sorry. I shouldn't. Go ahead. Go ahead. Beat out. That's just wrong.
We've talked about Fulmer. You look up Fulmer's record, Dave. That the fact that they ran that man out of town is still bothers me. Ridiculous, and I don't even like Fulmer that much. I just that stuff drives me so insane. Like he was so good with a program that is nowhere near as elite as they think they should be.
Yeah.
And two losing seasons. That's it.
Right.
Like, okay. And I mean, 11-1, 10-2, 11-2, 13-0, 11-2, 10-3. What do you want at Tennessee? Do you want them to move Alabama? We'll trade you to the Pac-12 for
Utah. Better climate? Yeah. What do you want?
Yeah.
Yes, they don't want to have to play Alabama or beat Alabama. That is
I was listening to. So you guys assume you saw the, you know, Florida drubbed them at Tennessee this weekend. And I don't know if you guys know this, but at halftime they were honoring the 98 championship team for 20 years. And I was listening to
happening. When is that?
What you hell yeah, there was. Yeah, a couple times a football season I listened to the Shutdown Full Cast that the Every Day Should Be Saturday guys put on. And they were cracking me up last week because they said, I love how Phil Fulmer takes over as AD and he says, all right, first order of business, we need to honor some teams. Oh, look what's coming up this year, 20 years since I won a national
title. This works out
well. Time to honor me.
So, well, I mean, what did you want them to do? Honor their other Tennessee national champions? Hold on, let me find one. You guys, go ahead, keep talking. This might be a while.
Well, and but they're down like 30 at the time, like 33-3 or 28-3 or whatever it was. Oh, so awesome. So great. Just like I said it on Twitter. I just like seeing them repeatedly fall on their face. I don't know why. And somebody said to me, I feel the same way about Nebraska. And that gets to what we were just discussing. I kind of agree. Like, I don't dislike Frost yet, but Nebraska fans, they're delusional. And they deserve to fall on their face for a while. Yeah. And I just hope, as you said, together against Purdue. Oh, goodness, I hope they don't. They have a freshman starting quarterback who they pulled last
maybe week
and put in a walk-on. That's who finished the game against Michigan.
Yeah.
But remember, well, he was injured, so we don't know how close to 100% he was.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think if Martinez is healthy, I think they are a better team, and we really don't really know how healthy he's going to be this week. Hey, real quick, before we move off of the SEC talk. I know it's kind of funny that we're on that, but one thing that I love seeing right now, just because it was semi close last year, I was driving down to the Southern US and I passed through Kentucky, and a bunch of people that were Kentucky fans were staying at the hotel where we were. And they were talking about how Stoops was on thin ice and they were about to fire him. Mm-hmm. And look at where Kentucky is this year, right? They look
south of Indiana, right?
Yeah, they're still there. They're still
there. Thought they might have moved. No, also, no. I had to look up which Stoops because I forgot that, you know, Mark's been there for 6 years.
Yeah. And they've been
4-0.
Yeah, 4-0, beat Florida, first time in what, 18 years or something like that. Yeah. That's pretty different. You know, that's kind of neat to see that there are programs that, I mean, I don't know if they really wanted to wait, but maybe they felt like they were forced to wait. I don't know why they did, but they said, I guess this is our lot right now. So we're going to stick with this guy because we believe in him. And look what's happening.
Duke and Kentucky, both undefeated in football. That's a good it's about time those schools got a break when it came to sports.
Exactly. Just something go their way. Yeah.
Exactly. So happy. So happy that they're.
So I talked to away from the site, Dave. You know, we've got a what is it not Voxer? What do we do now? Whatever it is, we have another way of communicating that Anish and Michael insist upon communicating, which is horrible. And but one thing we talked about is how Louisville fans are starting to clamor more and more for Jeff Brohm, and I'm bothered by this. I have a friend who's a Louisville grad, and he says he said, well, the good news for you guys is Petrino has a $12 million buyout for the next 3 years. I don't know if that's exactly true. I do know, I think it's $12 million this year. And they just said they gave him too much of a contract last time because they felt like they're in a corner, and now they're kind of underneath it. And I pray that the general Louisville fan base thinks like him and says, well, for 3 years, we're not doing anything with this. Because if we can get 3 years, I think it's going to be special. And then Brohm might fall in love with Purdue in that time because his family seems comfortable. Things seem to be going well. And, you know, he's the mayor.
And if he doesn't, and he's made them what we think he could make them, then happy trails, yeah, man.
Exactly,
you,
exactly.
You've earned the right to do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And then he's made, we'll say it again, then he's made Purdue more of a destination job than it's been in ever, maybe.
Well, look at the energy right now. You had coming into the BC game, 0-3 team. And it didn't look great when they came out of the tunnel, like the crowd.
No,
but ESPN was filled in. It filled in pretty
nicely. Yeah, I noticed it filled in. That's because it was a noon game, right? Those are always tough to fill.
It was noon. It was a little cool. And they had played well, but when you're losing the games you play well, it's better than before, than it was under Hazel, but you're still right. Losing. And that does kind of you're a little more comfortable in the tailgate. Let me just finish this soda. You know, are the ribs? No, let's eat those. You know, whereas if it's 3-0, we're like, oh, forget this. It's 11 o'clock. I want to see the team come in. You know?
Exactly. You're right.
Yeah. Yep. You're right. Yep. And it, I mean, it was a pretty good crowd by the middle of the second quarter. It looked really good. It had decent. You know, the noise was good. The energy was solid. And I just keep saying that's an 0-3 team with no real motivation to have people come in there. It's not a special atmosphere because it's not nighttime. It's not some, you know, get a free whatever, you know, bobble,
homecoming,
Dave bobblehead, you know, so
homecoming is changing. Special.
Yeah. Well, it's special, but it doesn't feel, I mean,
right.
Did it feel special in the stadium? Like a night game or like a, you know, a big time, you know, TV.
Not at this time of year, because part of it is, you know, homecoming's right. October, right? Why are we doing it here? Obviously, because you don't have Ohio State for homecoming.
Right,
That's your October game. So
problem.
September's fine. Yeah. No problem. But
that is right.
Yeah. I love that. The idea. I mean, like, I always think, you know, homecoming should be after a road game. I'm crazy like that. Right. So they're actually
coming home.
Coming home. Yeah. Instead of like going to your dorm and coming back.
Oh, is that where it comes from?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but anyway, I mean, it was good. It was, and it did not feel to me much like a homecoming game either, because the previous week, so many people were in town. It wasn't just you guys, you know.
No, yeah, it was.
Jay and
it was just
them. That's
I mean, we're here every week, but you know, the special guests.
You and I, guests, the important people came into town. So that was really nice.
Our own little homecoming.
Yeah. Yeah.
So David Blau, I just wanted to throw this out there while I have it up here, since we've been talking a little bit about numbers, and all numbers are the same to me. David Blau, in his last two games since he's been the, you know, unquestioned starter, he's 60 of 83 for 868 yards, 72% completion percentage, 6 TDs, 1 pick. And in the last game against BC, he was 21 of 28 for 296. His rating was 199.2. If you're into that. And he's had a 70 yard or greater touchdown pass in each of the last two games.
Well, so, I don't even know what those numbers mean. Dave, can you tell me, are those good things?
Yeah. Let me throw this out here. You know who's leading them 1A football in completion percentage?
David Blau.
No, he's 13th, which is awesome. No, it's the guy from Eastern Michigan.
Really?
So I don't know. I mean, obviously some of it is, whatever happened in the rain. But, you know, this could be another game like last year where we look at it and we think, oh, this is an easy non-conference schedule.
Wiegert? Is that his name? Or Wiegert?
Tyler Wiegert, yeah. You know, maybe those guys aren't that bad. I mean, Blau's 71.6 overall, which is pretty solid. Yeah. Wiegert's at 76.
Dang,
I mean, man. I don't care what kind of passes you're throwing or what kind of opposition you have. If it were that easy, you'd see Alabama quarterbacks up there. The Tagovailoa is 72.5. So, you know, but Blau is what's the word for it? Good. That's the word. Good. This is good. I'd forgotten what it was like to have a passing attack that's like, whoa, check that out. I think we scored again.
Well, it's the funny thing is, the really interesting thing, again, you know, because my perspective versus, you know, in the stadium versus watching it on television, the in the stadium, I was like, man, Blau looks good. Everybody agrees last week and this week, he looks like whatever issues he had early in the season, if he had a shoulder thing that he was working out, he looks like a different guy. He's making some difficult passes. Yes, absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
That's what Brahm said. He was displeased with the play calling against Eastern.
Yeah.
We see something that looks more Brahm-like, and all of a sudden, hey, there's that passing attack we saw last year.
Right.
By the way, Brahm's or Blau's completion percentage last year, 65%.
Yeah, he's good. Up. Like you said, he is a good quarterback.
Yards per attempt or passer rating is all up, and that's for 4 games. So, you know, maybe it's all of that. Maybe Blau is 100% right now. Maybe this is what Brahm wanted to be doing the whole time. Yeah. I hope so, because I like it.
Yeah. I love what I see in it. The one thing that I would like to see, honestly, it's I don't want to say disheartening. It bothers me a little bit that they can't run the ball right now, right? Because the weird thing is, though, you know, you said play calling's been different last few games. I kind of would like to see Blau get under center and bring in a big, a fullback, halfback option when it's close, you know, when it's fourth and one or third and one, whatever, and just blast the ball into him, because we thought this offensive line would be able to blow open holes. We haven't really seen that the last two games at all.
I do want to point out that Purdue's getting 5.5 yards a carry.
Well, how many is Knox getting right now, right? Because he's falling forward
right there, time. 5.5. I mean,
fantastic.
But I think where that is coming from is that, and I don't have this in front of me, mm-hmm. they're breaking big plays.
Yes.
And so it's not 5.5.5. It's 1-2, 1-2, 27.
Yes. Yes. Because Markell Jones is a good example of that patience. And right, that's the way he runs. That's what he did versus IU last year. And he was patient, break off a 17-yard run. He did that in the second half. Versus BC, where he had a play off the left side where, you know, it looked kind of routine, and he had earlier, you know, he wiggles. He finds mm-hmm. space. He has good vision. He's not a breakaway guy. He doesn't blast people, but he's darn good when he gets the reps. And Knox, if anybody's ever sat near me, if you don't know, if you're listening to this, if there's a loud guy that just yells DJ Knox all the time for no good reason, that's me, because I just think he's so darn good, and I think he's so productive, and I just wish he'd get the ball a little bit more.
I do want to add that I think what you were thinking about is against BC, that Purdue mm-hmm. just they had under 2 yards of carry.
Yeah.
Now, some of that was from sacks, but
right.
even if you take the sacks out, yeah, it was BC nailing down the running game. Now, if you're completing 3/4 of your passes, I guess it doesn't matter if that you stop the run as much,
but
to your guy's point from earlier, we need something so that Blau isn't getting hit as much.
Yeah.
Because 100% Blau is great. A 70% Blau, probably not as great.
Yeah. Yeah. He got hit a lot. The pocket collapsed from, you know, the back. He was getting pinched a lot, and he's real good about stepping up in the pocket, but that BC front looked pretty rugged, and they were getting some shots in on him.
So let's talk for a minute about what we think about what's going to happen Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then I think we should pivot to some reader questions, because Dave needs to experience this in all its glory.
Yeah.
Reader questions are always good.
They're always good. They I love it. They write our show for us, and we appreciate it very much. So, but just to kind of put a bow on that, I know we've got the Predicto coming, of course, later this week. And I don't know about you guys, but it's funny how a week changes things. Obviously, we knew Purdue was not as bad as 0-3 would suggest. And Dave, you had that great stat that they were, what, the 50th best team in the country at 0-3?
Right.
Yeah, they're like a 3-1 team. And that kind of bears out when you watch them.
Yes.
You flip one or two plays. We talked about this at the Missouri game. You flip one or two plays, and they were 2-0 instead of 0-2.
Yes.
Yeah.
And well, I mean, in Missouri, they had a play flipped for them. So, I mean, so... But not only that, though, this past weekend, you've seen Nebraska just get mollywopped like they did. And look, honestly, I hate to say this. I don't know why I hate to say it, because it's not like any of them are listening. But it does look like a team that quit. I mean, they got just – like they didn't have any interest in that game.
Not only did they look like a team that quit, coming into the game, remember that offensive lineman talked about how many guys had not bought in.
That's right.
My fear is that they will put it together sometime this season. I just want them to wait a few weeks before they do it.
Because two weeks is good. Two weeks
to be fine. Two weeks to be fine. Yeah, it can be three, it can be two, whatever. But the big thing is Nebraska still has talent on the roster. If they play as a unit, they can be a pretty solid team. And I just don't want them to put it together this week. I think that they have plenty of big, strong guys there. This is not like a Hazel.
Remember, they were 4-8 last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they lost like 7 in a row.
Right. And this is I agree. I think Frost will have a solid team at Nebraska. But I think
what was one
part of
their wins?
What's holding them back?
You remember one of their wins? Because I think I saw it in person.
Exactly. Right. Right. flip that game, and they're 3-9 under Riley.
But it was 8-4.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think now we have to get them now. This is the time to jump on them.
Oh, yeah.
When they have Riley guys that are like, or guys who've played under as many coordinators as you can imagine who are like, honestly, I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing out there. Where in 2 or 3 years, that's not going to happen.
Right. Oh. I think that's the biggest thing. Because the thing that I looked at last year when Nebraska was at Purdue is that they have some guys on that team. Like they have a running back and a couple wide receivers that are just physical specimens, right? They look like NFL bodies. I don't know if they're NFL talent level, but that's my whole point about there are guys there that can play the game and that are big and strong, but they, like you said, they don't know their role. And Frost coming into the situation he was in before, he was inheriting speed guys, and that was easy to coach for him. He's not really inheriting that type of team. He's inheriting, you know, big bodies that were supposed to run the ball and not run at people.
You know, you guys bringing that up made me jump back to remind myself that Nebraska's last win was against Purdue. Their last win was against Purdue. So the week before they beat Purdue last year in that last second play, they gave up 56 to Ohio State. Okay. Then they beat Purdue. Then they lost in overtime to Northwestern. Then they gave up. These are the last three games. They gave up 54 to Minnesota, 56 to Penn State, 56 to Iowa.
But they scored 44 on Penn State at Penn State. So, you know, the offense was doing something there. The defense, you know.
Well, no, because no.
They had
no.
a senior quarterback last year, right? He graduated.
Because they lost to Minnesota last year. Last year's PJ Fleck Minnesota team by 30. That was 54-21.
That's crazy.
Tanner Lee was a junior.
I was a junior. Okay.
Right. So, and now this year. They let Michigan hang 56 on them. So they've lost seven in a row, and four of those have been over 50 they've had hung on them. So, you know, you're right. They're going to eventually pull out of this. But if they don't beat Purdue, they have to go to Wisconsin and then Northwestern the next 2 weeks, and then versus Minnesota, who whipped them last year. I mean, they really – oh, man. They don't get a winnable game until Illinois.
Well, hold on, because, you know, the Northwestern team that Purdue drew in the first week, that's not the Northwestern team that's played the last couple games. So.
Well, let me throw another stat you'll like, Dave. I started this last week. Teams that have beaten Purdue this year are 0-5 after beating Purdue.
It's crazy.
They can't win. Nobody who beat Purdue can win again. Basically,
couldn't it be Wisconsin? Put Wisconsin that in the first game of the season, and how interesting does that become? 1-11, do we fire Paul Christ? Man.
Well, the funny thing is, but coming in the season, Dave, you know, Anish and Jay and I had talked a lot about how we like Fitzgerald, and we think he's one of the coaches that's in a really good place in his program. I'll tell you what, losing games like Akron, you know, getting and floundering around will make even the hardiest fan base say, hey, what's the deal? Especially when you've got as many seniors and juniors as Northwestern does on their roster.
Yeah, but it's Northwestern. I mean, you know, they're not going to be saying we are a football power.
We're going to run them out.
Look at the Rose Bowl. Well, they did go to Rose Bowl. Yeah. Look at the time when we went unbeaten. Well, they did go unbeaten the Big Ten. Forget. Okay, hold on. Let me restart. They're looking at this and saying, look, you know, Fitzgerald wins games. He goes to bowls. Maybe we're not doing it this year. Okay.
Yeah. And I think they are legitimate student athletes. It does seem like there are a few schools in America that are still that way. It's nice to see.
They're not all that way. It's a purple. School. It's right there in the name.
School. Yeah. School.
So let's pivot to. Oh, we didn't really talk about what we think is going to happen, but you know what? You'll just
tune into the website. Come to the website.
Come read. Do a little reading. It's good for you.
Yeah. Good promo.
Sit there and have us talk.
Good promo. Sometimes I wonder, do people read the Predicto? I have no idea. I don't know if they read any of the site, but
I read the Predicto.
That's all that matters. As long as I'm entertaining like four or five people, that's really all.
Well, I have to expand, you know, I make the type bigger so I can read it, but, you know, I read it eventually.
That's fair. So I cast the line out and said, any topics, any questions, anything you'd like us to talk about? And, of course, we're always fond of the would you rather questions. So the first one that comes
up. Get your thinking cap on, Dave. You can't look at your stats here. This one's going to be.
Horse-sized duck.
Horse-sized duck or a duck?
Wait, is that? Those aren't the questions. Okay, sorry.
A little different.
Like that? Didn't we get one like that? And then we had. In fact, we could ask for those 1 week. We got asked for. Then there was like, do you want a bunch of Drew Breeses the size of like, you know,
A kitten the size of DJ Knox, or 100 DJ Knoxes the size of kittens.
Right, exactly. That stuff.
That's, 100 DJ Knoxes the size of kittens would kill you.
Man.
Oh, man. Because yeah, you can already tell he can lift like six times his body weight.
Exactly.
So habitual boiler gives us a gross would you rather. And what I want to bring this one up for, this reminds me, Ryan used to play games like this with his friends.
Yeah, in college. I did.
This was, I can't even tell our listeners how disgusting you guys got.
Yeah. We didn't do that in my era. We nothing like that. Just so everyone knows.
So this one is
from habitual. They believe it, I think.
You're going to struggle here then, Dave.
Habitual boiler asks, would you rather be stuck in a room for 24 hours filled with the nastiest fart air you've ever encountered, or the raunchiest, most acidic belch air you've ever encountered? Also, do you think the boilers win Saturday?
Oh, I have a problem with the belch air, because belch air to me is akin to vomit. And most belch air smells something like bologna or hot dogs.
Bologna?
Yeah, I did that on purpose. Bologna? Bologna. I'm going to go with the fart air.
I don't think I could do that. I think I'd go with the belch air.
Wait, so we're assuming that this is a room filled with fart air that I didn't create. That's going to bother me? I think that's a challenge. I don't think that's possible. I'd have to go with fart air because, like, bring it.
So Miles Hanley asks us, this is a good question. If you were stranded on a desert island and you had to pick one college coach to be stranded with you, who would you choose? Now, my first thought was, who's the most resourceful college coach out there? Because I want to survive and maybe escape, right? And I don't want a curmudgeonly jackass like Saban there, right?
Oh, I know who I want.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Mike Leach.
I knew that was coming.
Just I'd be entertained. I wouldn't care that I was starving. He'd be saying all sorts of crazy crap, and I'd be like, yeah, this is all right. Like
philosophical things.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden, he'd be talking about cartoon characters. And then,
right.
Okay.
You guys are going at this the wrong way.
Okay.
I got Urban Meyer.
All
right. I want to hear why.
Because while you guys think we're actually stranded on the desert island, we're going to be eating steaks. We're going to be living the high life. Someone's going to ask, we're like, oh, yeah, totally stranded on the desert island. Months, years. We were there the whole time. Exactly. I took pictures.
Look, there's a picture. There's photographic evidence. Those shadows are all wrong.
I had pictures, actually. I deleted them off my phone, but, you know.
That's good. He worked in a shot at Urban Meyer, too.
Very good. Nice work, Dave.
I like that a lot. Oh, there's a spider crawling on my computer screen.
Is the spider your choice, Jay?
What's that?
I don't think we heard your choice, and it can't be a spider unless there's like a Spider a Jones or something.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, who was I just? I did. Well,
probably somebody handsome knowing you. You're going to. who looks best in tight pants?
Well.
Lane Kiffin
wearing away pants. Yeah, if Lane brings his wife, then his ex-wife, I guess. Now, then yeah, they're not. I choose her. No, I was thinking someone like Fitz, somebody I think is young enough and strong enough, maybe carry me on his back as we swim off the island.
Oh no, Fitz would have you believing you could build a boat that you could sail from the island home. And he's probably right.
I would do it. I'd be like, I didn't think I had this in me. And he'd be like, there you go, buddy.
Believe in yourself. That's what he'd say, right? Isn't that on their thing they
smell? Well, he also went to Northwestern. So, of the coaches who could potentially build a boat, he's got to be in the top five.
Smart guy.
Exactly. Go Cats.
Go Cats.
This is one I alluded to earlier from Handel Jones. He says, if it was possible to change our record from 1-3 to 2-2, which one loss would you want to change? And he says, I'd like Northwestern back, to be honest. And
I think they were going to lose that game anyway, regardless. I just felt like Northwestern had Purdue that night.
I didn't feel like the game got ripped away from Purdue. No, I feel like Purdue got beat that game. And I think Eastern Michigan, I would either like that back because that's a game you should never lose. But really, that's not going to bother me as much, I don't think, as the Missouri.
Because the rain, right? Because you're
Purdue, it felt like they deserved a win.
Yes, agreed. And
that's probably the one I would change.
All right, but let me ask you this. You've seen Minnesota doesn't look so good. Nebraska looks really beatable. Mm-hmm. Iowa couldn't even do Kinnick magic on Wisconsin. You are correct. That is exactly what I want. Because right now I'm thinking, you know, it's possible.
Who knows?
Iowa and Wisconsin are here. You beat Nebraska and Minnesota away. If that Northwestern game is a win,
You don't even need – and the other thing people are going to get hung up on hearing us talk about that, Purdue doesn't even have to beat Wisconsin. If Wisconsin loses twice –
right.
And, you know, or not twice. Now, I guess they'd have to lose three times because if you assume Purdue loses to Wisconsin.
Exactly. That would be 2-2. So
it might be the harder thing for Purdue, though. The funny thing is it might be harder to get to six wins than it is to win the division.
I think you're right.
Because that's the thing that I'm concerned about more than anything is you can win the division. You have to go to the Big Ten championship and win
to make a bowl.
To a bowl. Oh my gosh.
But you have to think about it this way too. I mean, if they're going to win enough conference games to win the division, mm-hmm. it's going to be more than six. I mean, right now it does kind of look like you could go 5-4 and that might win the West. Yes. But honestly, I think it's seven is the minimum. And that's assuming Wisconsin really is going to struggle.
Right. So
I'm still in the camp that believes Paul Chryst is not a great coach. And I know there are a lot of people say, well, look at the record of Wisconsin, but the stories I hear from Pitt and what I believe is he's like Manchurian coach. I still believe Alvarez is coaching behind a curtain. You know, he's doing all the work. If you hear Chryst talk, you're like, either he's the best actor, like pretending he's just like a normal doofus, or he's a doofus.
I think being a doofus works well in Wisconsin. I don't know. I think it's
Alvarez did not play that role though. That dude looked like a mob boss always, right?
Yeah, but he had to turn around a program that was terrible. And it took
Belima played a good doofus. That's a good point.
Right. It's big doughy doofuses.
but Belima was more like he was more like Sonny. He was the guy that would actually start stuff. Barry was just like, you know, he had rules and everyone played by the same rules. Yeah. And then you realize that he had suddenly won the conference. Uh-huh. Bielema was just like, I'm coming across the table at you. And you're like, whoa, hey, it's halftime, man.
And you're shirtless and you smell of pork.
That was the Arkansas stuff. I thought we agreed not to talk about that.
He always looks like he's sweating pork every time I see him. And there are a lot of pictures out there of him sunburnt, that gigantic belly, shiny. And it's not good.
No, and he's got an amazing wife, which I don't understand.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Makes a lot of money. It helps.
Jay. He's okay. He's rich. Let's just say that. He's rich. Let's go that way. Go with that answer. All right.
Travels a lot.
Exactly.
Here's one from Eric Fisher. He asks, he's a fish farmer on Twitter. He says, would you rather watch 24 hours of ESPN college football coverage or have to send a text in Ross Aid to save your life? Well, I
love a text
because it doesn't work.
I think Anish pointed out, I tweeted at least three times.
Whoa.
At homecoming.
What'd you do? Three. Man, you must have paid somebody some.
That's not part of the question. It just says, I just have to text once.
Right.
I don't see the punishment or anything negative at all about watching college football for 24 hours. Am I missing 24 something?
24 hours of ESPN college football coverage. His point is he knows how much you don't like ESPN.
Sucks. Yeah.
Oh, so you mean like 5 hours of football. Okay.
If you're lucky.
Yeah, but hold on. We need a media break here. Should we come back in, three and a half minutes? That sounds about right.
Well, the best thing is they change the cadence of the game, too, as they get close to the bumper, right? The game gets faster. But in the first half, it's like break, 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 break. And then they're just like, all right, got to go. You see the ref like winding. Let's go. Get out of here. The TV guy on the sidelines go just like. Yeah, they suck. I don't think it's possible for me to send a text from Ross Aid, so I gotta go.
So you die, so you'd have to go with college football.
I'd have to go with college football. Yeah.
Well, we'll find out in October because you know that's the next time you'll have a chance to see if you get one text out in 4 hours because the Ohio State game is gonna run four.
Yeah, my phone is noticed, just it's a note taker.
BC was three.
Camera.
So you know, ESPN did not get their commercials and they're waiting. They're waiting for us.
You're gonna get more of that. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. So this one, I don't even – this is from PU_torn_ACL today. And I don't even want to talk about this, but
I'm then don't. Now's your best time.
Don't do it. Don't do
by
it.
The rules of the show. You know what? He says, would you rather a star Purdue football player tear his ACL or a star Purdue basketball player tear his ACL?
I think basketball is much harder to endure, you know, especially this year. Because if you say star basketball player, I think of one.
Oh, you meant in the future?
Let's say this year.
I thought we already covered this already. Like,
yeah, haven't we done enough to the basketball gods? Yeah, exactly.
So, and don't forget. How long was Sindelar playing with one?
Yeah, no kidding.
Four games.
It seems like it's pretty easy to get over an ACL in football. So we've seen two examples of guys just like, no big whoop.
Rub some dirt on it and go back.
Yeah, you're fine.
You're all right. Miles Hanley asks, related to Elijah Sindelar, good little transition there. He says, on a more serious note, if Elijah Sindelar isn't on the team to start the season, what's our record? I don't know if that's totally fair because I'm not
1-3.
Yeah, I don't know how much changes.
It's 1-3 or 2-2. I think the only thing that would change maybe is the play calling for Blau would have been better initially. That Northwestern, the three picks was costly. I'm going to go back to this. I just think they would have lost to Northwestern anyway. I just kind of felt like agreed. That was they weren't because Northwestern did not ever put the foot on the gas. They were just kind of like, all right, you know, we're going to keep you at arm's length. But I think EMU, Purdue may have beaten. So,
right. I agree. Let's see here. Kevin Ballinger, former Purdue long snapper.
Oh no, I'm thinking. No, it's his brother, right? Ballinger, the brother, is the.
This is Kevin, who is the long snapper.
He's hilarious.
He says, "Would you rather Brom grow a mustache, or would you rather be wrong?" So you'll go with being wrong.
Wait. Like, when are we not wrong?
So he wrote a whole thing that if you go to Kevin Ballinger, he's just at Ballinger on Twitter, you'll find that he wrote a post last week, I think, or earlier this week, about why Brom should grow a mustache and to fit in with Tiller and Hope and the guys that he's very familiar with.
The problem is Fat Jack never had a mustache. And that's, to me, that's the best Purdue football coach ever. So
bite your tongue. You watched the best Purdue football coach ever.
I did not. I was not
Cecil
alive.
Cecil Isbell?
Young?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't remember Young. I was there at a game, but I don't remember.
Weren't you like 2 or something?
No, I was born in 75. So I think he leave in 81.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. He was first year was 77. How old were you in 77?
2.
He didn't just, go
just
then.
Asking. Just asking.
About, he was there for like 5 years.
Yeah, wasn't he there for 3 or 4 years?
4 years, yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, you're right. 5. Yeah. He had 5, 6.
I think I was on at one end. Game. I think I was at one game.
When you were not 2. Not at all.
I think I was 5.
Well, that is completely different, actually.
And I do not remember it, though. That's the thing. They're like, there's photographic evidence, but I do not remember.
To be fair, you don't remember games from this season.
That's also true. My memory is horrendous. So
remember that game when you
got
really
loud? Hey, by the
way,
guys, we ought to all get together. I've never met you guys. We ought to all get together.
Like at your house or something?
Yeah, we could do that. My house. That'd be awesome.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Let me see. What else do we have here? Oh, we have another one of those where we have to decide between football and basketball success. So... that boiler in France, always FNS man 81. He always comes in with some questions. He said, "Would you rather have Carson win National Player of the Year, but no Elite Eights, or Rondale wins the Heisman, but not the Big Ten crown? Which program would benefit more from an amazing player, but no major postseason success?"
Football.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
it's hard to beat, right? Like if he won the Heisman any of these four years. What that would do for Purdue.
Does it not feel like, I mean, he's on a collision course to win it? I don't think we felt this way. Breeze, right, is the last time where you had something of a, you know, sophomore year, it felt like he was very special, right?
Lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like we're there with Rondale Moore. The funny thing is, I know there's more talent coming in behind him, but even the guys coming in here, I've been going through this thought exercise when I see like a USC guy or a Texas guy or an Alabama guy. They're talking like, this guy's really special. I watch them play and I'm like, Moore's better. Mm-hmm. Moore's better. His ability to change direction and get up to top speed you know, the net 2 steps later is just incredible.
And he can get better, can he? I mean, he's
he's got to get better. You know what he's going to get better at? Like right now, he overuses that high step to measure up people. Yeah. He doesn't need to do that all the time. Like he had a play versus BC where he was coming around right to
left to right, and he did.
And he did it.
He didn't know where to go.
If you'd hit the Jets, I think you would have at least gotten to the next level. And when we get to that next level, because I think it was that a punt or a kickoff, if I remember correctly, he would have gotten around the end, and then he would have been against a smaller guy, which he can go through their arm tackles if he does size them up. And that's the thing. He's reading them, which I love. I went back and I watched his high school highlights yesterday, and I was like, that was his thing in high school, and he could just abuse people on that one move. Well, he'll get better. He's going to get more moves, and that's the interesting challenge for Purdue coaches, because I've thought about this as a guy who's coached little kids. When you have that very good player on your team, the challenge is, how do I make that guy better, right? It's so much easier to make the kid that really needs a lot of work better, and you know what he needs to work on. When a guy's very good, you know, how do you make that guy better? How do you push him so he makes the rest of the team, the standard, get higher? So that's going to go back on the coaches.
Now, I do want to point out that we kind of have to be careful about that question because, you know, in football, you can win a national championship without winning a conference title. So we have to think of it like, okay, you can win the Heisman, but Purdue doesn't get any better than, say, 9-4. And I'm still fine with that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yes, because you're having a great time.
Yes,
it's going to be fun. You've got a Heisman winner, and you've got everything that comes with that. Oh, absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
But I would take you know, 13-1 national champions, not Big Ten champions, and Heisman also. If it happens, I don't want to argue against it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd allow that. I'd allow that. Good point, Dave.
So in that scenario, they go, 12-0, then lose the Big Ten title game?
Or they could actually go 11-1, but that one loss is to Minnesota, who goes unbeaten, and they go to the Big Ten title game. So Purdue's not even involved, but they're 11-1, and so you can't leave them out. And then Minnesota gets crushed in the Big Ten title game by Rutgers. So I just wanted to see if anyone was listening at this point. So you know.
Oh my gosh.
He figures if you're not living in reality, why not go all the way? I think
that's right. Because I mean, Rutgers doesn't have a team, so that couldn't actually have happened. But
it's pronounced Rutger. Rutger.
Right. Rutger. I know.
Coach Bromson.
I don't think they're ever going to earn their S back. But
there's no T and there's no S in there.
So a couple other quick ones because I want to bang through some of these. There's some good ones here. Taylor Storms asks, would you rather beat Michigan State and Ohio State and their questionable coaches, or beat Wisconsin and IU? I'll just answer for the group. I want to beat Wisconsin and IU. Mm-hmm. I don't suspect that you guys will feel differently, but please tell me if you do.
I want that.
I mean, I want to see the Michigan State and Ohio State losses nullified, because both coaches will be, you know, dismissed and programs will be put on probation until eternity. Right. But as we know, my loyalties are split. And so part of that is the Ann Arbor person saying, well, I always want to beat Michigan State and Ohio State, even if I'm not actually talking about Michigan. But I think if it's one game, you always want the bucket. So if it's two games, you want the bucket and. If it's, you know, everything should be the bucket and.
For me, so Dave, this is where I'm at. Maybe you and I are different. I think there's something, honestly.
I'm taller.
You being a few years older than me, a few years wiser. Okay. When Notre Dame gets back on the schedule, I'd rather Purdue beat Notre Dame than anybody. That's my number one priority.
Well, and it's also a trophy game. That's our third trophy.
Right.
But Illinois isn't even really a competition now. So, yeah. Right. Shillelagh, so, I'm with you.
Yeah. So there you go. There's your answer, Jay. How about you? Okay. You said you already answered it. So.
Wisconsin and IU. I mean, IU, I want the bucket. And if I have to pick from those pairs, first of all, they've beaten Ohio State. So that's not that magical to me. They've beaten Michigan State, not super recently, but more recently than Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see them beat Wisconsin again, you know, for the
Just to get off that snide. Yeah.
Also, it's the West. Wisconsin in the West, Michigan State, Ohio State in the East.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you want to get to a Big Ten title, you got to go through your division.
Yeah, right on.
So this is a non, this is, yeah, like, here's a would you rather that could cause an argument. Purdue Pete 09 asks, would you rather Popeyes or Bojangles?
Popeyes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, Popeyes.
And he also asks,
but if you put churches in there, it makes it really interesting. I love churches.
Popeyes.
And he says, Shake Shack or In-N-Out?
In and out.
Okay, I have not had either, so I can't actually vote.
But here's the qualification and equivocation I always do with things like that. This okay. In and out, its contemporaries are McDonald's, right? It's a fast food, walk into the counter, get your fast food. Shake Shack is that one step more where it's like you order
fast and casual. Fast casual.
Right. Yeah. You sit down and it's a little, so I'm fine if people want to have an argument and say one's better than the other, but I would argue they are not the same thing. You can love both of those and not have had to pick one. In-N-Out, like I said, it's like $3.80 for your meal. Like that's
the place is just amazing.
It's so good and cheap. So good, fast food. Cheap. And yeah, it's so.
But everything's so fresh there. You know, you compare it to McDonald's, and I'm not a guy who disdains I like McDonald's. I don't have any problem with McDonald's, but. Man, the bun, like around the edge, will be crisp. The lettuce will be crisp. Everything's delicious.
And yep.
Phenomenal,
too.
Yeah, though. Shake Shack. Great. And they can dress up their sandwiches a little bit more, right? So it's a little nicer.
That's what makes it not fair. That's my point. It's
right. Special. That's a fair point. In your face, question asker.
So we got a couple quick questions about basketball. One, Alex Barrett asks if this year's basketball team has the potential to be Painter's best defensively.
No.
And we're also being asked by Caleb, since practice just started, I want to hear some initial thoughts and you know, what one player do you want to see step up their game? Oh, no, sorry. That's a football question. Caleb, you're all over the place. He says,
So let me go to the first one and see if you guys agree. See if you guys agree with this. I think the era that we're in right now will make it tougher for this to be Painter's best defensive team. When Kramer was on the team, Kramer was Kramer. He was tough, he was relentless, he was physical, and the rules allowed him to be that. Now you're in the position where on-ball defense is much harder to play, and I think that's part of the problem. They're going to have a great shot blocker. We know that. And they're going to have solid on-ball defenders, but I just think the best defensive team, we saw them already.
Yeah, right. if you look at KenPom and you look at the numbers from that era, you know, mm-hmm. Purdue's adjusted defense is under 90. Mm-hmm. You know, last year they were 31st and it was 96.4. So like right. you said, it's a different era. Yeah. I think if you were talking comparatively, it's possible that this could be the highest ranked defense, but that's not it wasn't like it was in the late aughts. It just won't be, not without a set of rule changes that favors the defense.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sorry. I'm back on my heels a little bit. We have a question that we can't read on the air that it's hilarious.
I don't think
we're not. Don't do that.
So
by the way, for the record, I mean, what the heck? I don't remember who stirred it up this week. We don't have any beef with any other websites that are Purdue websites. Smooth. We have well with done. The beef well we've done. Got for the nice record.
Transition.
Yeah.
Very, very smooth.
Yes. The beef we've got, that Barstool Sports bothers me because they just get really classless really quick. That bother
me. Barstool is a big problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we don't have beef with Purdue. I mean, that's the thing. People try to make that. We don't have that.
Somebody asked when we were going to fight, I think.
No, we don't have any of that. That doesn't exist. And I don't know if any of those guys listen to us or not. I mean, it really doesn't matter if they do or don't. But I just don't feel that way about those guys. I mean, it's but
you mean like a wing eating fight? Like, you know, who can eat the most wings?
That's what I'm talking about. Anything.
Let's throw down.
Yeah,
let's throw bones, man.
Whether it's eating or sitting or exhaling or drinking alcohol, you don't want any part of us at any contest related.
No, we crush that.
Look, yeah. we'll even spot you. Me, like I won't even drink, and we'll still drink you.
Exactly.
You still got problems.
Yeah,
can't lead all the wins.
Anish is gonna just erase the fact that Dave's not gonna drink any alcohol.
Anish drinks enough for three of me.
Yeah, it'll be embarrassing.
So PU Falls Cities, our friends,
our pals,
shout out.
Number of questions here. They're all good.
That's Big Mike, right?
Is that his name?
I believe so.
I know him as PU Falls City.
Okay, I think it's Mike. And Mike,
who can't remember from the weekend? I'm confused here.
You'll have to excuse me because
in the face, exactly.
He gave us a little bit to drink, and I don't remember that it was some sort of a mind wax.
Just a little, just a finger,
just a taste. Yeah, a single finger pour is all it was.
Yeah,
right.
If your fingers
the finger
are
aimed down actually, this way,
right, right.
Put your finger in it. So he says, given that Larkin is done and Boiler football is hitting their stride, how badly would you like another shot at Northwestern? And I think we've already covered Northwestern. I mean, Dave makes a good point. It'd be huge to have that win in the division. I don't know how different it would be right now. Maybe a little. They don't look very good, but
they don't look very good.
Yeah. Play calling was different in that game too.
Yeah.
But yeah, with Larkin out,
timing is everything, right? That's the old Gene Cady adage, right? It's not who you play, it's when you play him. And Northwestern won it all at Purdue. And you know, here's another thing. That Larkin loss, that's heartbreaking for the team. That's a demoralizer, you know. Yeah. And you feel bad for the kids, feel bad for the coaches, feel bad for obviously Larkin. Glad his life is gonna be saved. I mean, by them finding it, right? I mean, is that something that he could have died from if he would have kept playing? That's the way I read it, right?
I mean, I think if it's something where you quit like essentially on the spot, that's the consequence isn't, you know, you're gonna have trouble walking. It's you don't want to do this anymore starting now.
So I my Northwestern, I think we're all in the same place on that one. So
he says, let's see here, considering how well Blau is playing, what's the over under on games until we see Sindelar play, which I think is a great question. I think honestly, if he keeps playing this well, obviously you might see Sindelar when he's healthy and he's mopping up.
That's it.
Well,
it's either – so here are the two scenarios. One, I don't see Blau getting benched. I could see mop-up, and I can see injury.
Because Blau gets hit a lot, as we talked about.
Yeah. And it may be not even a serious injury. I'm not wishing that. I'm saying him get hit
– Just banged up.
I mean, and that's why it's great to have a quarterback as experienced as Sindelar. Sindelar, I mean, the funny thing is – And we talked about this last season. You can go back and you can see the tape when we talked about this. I had a problem with Sindelar's decision-making last season before he became the starter. Once he was the starter, he played differently. They kept him in a really, I mean, I don't want to say box because he threw the ball a lot, but they, you know, but he wasn't running, right?
Different when he knows the job is his. He did not know it was his in game one.
That it or is it the knee?
Like he was more conservative because of his knee being hurt.
Yes, I do.
I don't know about that. Dave mentioned earlier that the play calling was an issue against Northwestern. Mm-hmm. I would argue the execution was the issue. I think they were as aggressive as they've been with Blau. They threw the ball a lot and
they were aggressive, made
bad
Sindelar
decisions.
But I don't think they called the same plays for Blau. I think that maybe that's
Blau went in, right? Yeah. Oh, right. Once Blau went in, they were. They didn't do it. They didn't open things up for Blau until they played Missouri.
It was like they brought in the guy who was like the running quarterback. You know, it's almost like Northwestern did the same thing, right? They brought
only like lateral passes.
Yep.
Well, Hazel had that a year of that, right? Where basically he'd bring in the one of the guys who actually literally couldn't throw the ball.
Henry.
And then it was like, oh, I wonder what Purdue's going to do here. Huh, that guy can't throw. I bet it's a run.
Yep.
Are you saying that Hazel was easy to figure out by other teams?
No. I mean, he was easy to figure out when everybody was healthy.
Exactly.
So just a couple more things we've got here, and then we'll wrap it up. So James, FredaEnds89 on Twitter, says, would you rather wear khakis and not live up to expectations or a spray tan and drink Diet Coke and not live up to expectations?
I already wear khakis and don't live up to expectations, so I don't understand the question.
Yeah, exactly. I think the same thing. I don't drink Diet Coke, so I don't know what to. I'm trying to figure out the reference. Is that
Trump?
I don't know.
Trump doesn't drink Diet Coke.
I thought he drinks regular Coke.
I don't know what he drinks.
He has a button where he gets a Coke. Google that. Trump button on. He has a button.
I'm not googling that, man. khakis. I voted khakis already. What are we still doing on this one?
See, I've got a nice pair of nice fitted khakis. They're not too loose. They're very they hug all the right places, and I don't get them. But then when I open my mouth, I disappoint everyone. So
So I got a final one for you guys because we should wrap things soon. Because I thought of this one all on my own. Who was more due to win this past weekend, Purdue or Tiger?
Tiger.
Right?
Tiger was so far overdue. And we had within my family, like my brothers and my dad, we were all talking about, I'm almost positive everybody but me said he wasn't going to win another tournament. I was like, he's going to win another tournament. I just think he's too good. And what he did, I mean, the thing that's amazing is shows you how close he's been. He won the whole thing and the tournament, right? I mean, that's the thing. How
he
much
didn't win the whole thing. He gave it to by him winning it, Justin Rose won the whole cup.
Well, I thought Rose was out of the points. I thought they said that.
No, Rose won the whole thing. You're in the FedEx Cup.
So he came in second. Woods came in second.
I think so. But he
did he get any prize money for finishing second?
He got $10 million for winning the thing, I think, didn't he? Oh, no, Rose must get the $10
million. Yeah,
he won a ton for finishing. Yeah, hell yeah, he won money. He won
well, that's the whole thing. It's like that guy needed a break. He needed some money.
Thank God. Something went
The funniest thing that was, like, I think it was a year or two ago, they showed the athletes who made the most money in the world that year. And Tiger Woods, whatever year that was, it was either 16 or 17. So it was probably 16. He made $101,000 from golf earnings. And then he made like $48 million from endorsements.
Boy, I'm glad something finally went his way. That poor guy.
Exactly. Poor guy. Yeah. I love it. It's funny. I love to see him winning tournaments because he grabs my attention because he's so good at scrambling. He's so good at making shots when he hits it into the woods, you know. And, and he's exciting. And that gallery, that is so iconic. That was, gosh, that was fun to watch.
It was crazy. It was crazy. And there's a lot of people who just don't like Tiger, and I don't totally.
I get why they don't like him. I mean, if it doesn't matter. You can pick a topic. You don't like steroids. You don't like orgies. You don't like cheaters. Whatever.
Who doesn't like those things?
Yeah, those are all great.
Those are all great. Completely American, reasonable things to
do. You don't like guys that are jerks? Because I hear he's a jerk, too.
Well, so basically you wanted to talk about Tiger, because really those things aren't even on a par with each other. Purdue beat Boston College. It's like, okay, you won a non-conference game, you know?
Right.
Tiger finished second in FedEx Cup standings. I mean, slightly more important.
Yeah.
I'm just saying who was due, because we've been talking about people need – Purdue hadn't won a game in 2018. I'm just saying.
But Illinois was on the schedule. It was going to happen October 13th, one way or the other.
So if Purdue beats Nebraska, who I think we're all feeling a lot better than we were maybe 2-3 weeks ago about that idea.
Read the predicto. You'll know.
Then they go to Illinois, and you want to talk about how a fan base will veer back on course. It produced 3-3 after six games, where we had all talked about how you kind of need to be 4-2 to have like a special kind of season. Like you need to be 5-1 or 4-2 at that point. And if they're 3-3 after an 0-3 start, man, will that stadium be full for Ohio State?
It will be. I'll be there. Dave will be there. Cause you know, that's just,
if they win three in a row. Does that become or is it already a night game? Is that on the schedule? I should know this. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's an afternoon game.
Yeah.
You and Dave will be there. You were starting.
All you could say, though, let's be real honest. If you want to be level-headed, okay, so I can be devil's advocate for a moment. If Purdue beats Nebraska and Illinois, you could just make the argument those are two lousy teams. And Boston College isn't as good as everybody thought they were.
Well, we kind of know they are, right? Illinois is going to be bad, and Nebraska isn't playing up to Nebraska standards.
Right. So you've got to be somewhat sober, you know, to me. You've got to be still a bit sober because the games after that get a little harder.
Devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Iowa, if Iowa doesn't have Kinnick magic and we're playing in Ross-Ade.
Yeah.
At Minnesota. Minnesota's not there yet.
I've got so many bad memories of Iowa, just generally. Sure. I know last year tries to balance that out, but I just have,
juju there. But they had Wisconsin and they couldn't keep them down at home.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What we end up discussing is, hey, Wisconsin, Indiana, win one to go to a bowl game.
So I just checked two places, including the Purdue official site, and the Ohio State game is still listed as TBA for the.
I saw that too.
The time. So
I thought you were talking about Illinois. Yeah.
Yeah. No. So Nebraska. Here's the other thing I like about having Brohm. I have to assume this is part of the. You know, he makes the team more attractive in a way that allows us to see games at night. And
clearly, last year that's what happened.
3:30 slot. Yes. Yeah. Last year they had like two noon games a whole year.
Yeah.
And so 3:30 the next 2 weeks. Then Ohio State. I think it'll be probably 3:30 or night game.
Agreed.
And then Michigan State could matter. I mean, both teams might be okay. So it's interesting that the next nooner might not be until that Iowa game.
I would think it would be the Minnesota game. And I don't know that another one on there, even the Bucket game, you know, they will put different rivalry games at different times. But
sure.
That team farther south, they're kind of okay right now.
Well, what I can't wait to have happen, what I cannot wait for
every year right now,
are they? They're one spot ahead of Purdue in S&P Plus.
They started 3-0. Purdue started 0-3, and it's going to be so wonderful when they play and Purdue steals their bowl chance. I can't wait to watch that happen because let me tell you, Indiana's not good.
The defense has been doing things. That's the thing. I suppose special teams would concern me, but I think if Purdue can keep their offense going against better defenses, I'll feel better about the bucket game.
It's going to come back to me. That's going to come down to how's the health of both those teams when they come in there? Because I think neither one can afford injuries in key areas. So
agreed.
Now they go to Rutgers this week. So
is that actually a game, or are they just going to like scrimmage for a bit and then?
Yeah, they're just going.
47-0. That sounds about right. Okay.
Oh man, I will.
You're probably going to go to that game just to go see some big time college football, right?
Birthplace of college football, friend.
That's the last time they were above 500, right?
Back. No, look, Rutgers.
Rucker
won quite a bit in the mid-aughts. Won a lot of games under
Always say, though, that's ancient history to recruits.
It is. But it's more reason than Purdue was that good.
Yeah, good point.
On the other hand, we thought, you know, Ash might actually, you know, be turning things around. Uh-huh. And right now,
it's
very hard to turn things around with a lack of talent. Mm-hmm. In the end, that's what it comes down to.
But, and then you can't get talent in, and then you can't turn things around, and it just kind of
– And they're in the East.
Yeah.
I mean
– Little harder.
Man, they gotta get bludgeoned by Ohio State every year.
Mm-hmm. It's
demoralizing. But that's all for the Rutgers podcast. Thanks for joining us tonight.
It always is.
It's fun. Been fun, guys, in the mixed triple. Thanks, Dave, for coming on. We're going to do this again, I think.
The highest combined age the Handsome Hour has ever had.
Yes. Hopefully next time it'll take me less than 45 minutes to get on.
We're going to
I'm not exaggerating. For those of you who weren't part of it, if you had heard the preamble, you would not have heard me. So, or no, you would have heard me, but I couldn't. Well, your listener. Never mind. I'm.
There was definitely not a two-way conversation.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right.
Love you guys. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.